Good to be here again in the house of the Lord. I got a message during the week to say that John wanted me to speak on the person of the Holy Spirit. And look, since the outpouring of the 70s, there's been quite a lot of people baptized in the Holy Ghost, and a lot of people have received gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the churches have flown in the different gifts. And I do believe that part of the restoration of the church and the apostolic renewal that's happening is also connected to the fact of us being more aware of the work and in particular of the person of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? Because if we look at the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is mentioned about 88 times. But if we look at the New Testament, he is mentioned about three times as many times, and actually over 44 times just in the book of Acts. This is how serious the matter is. Actually, Jesus in John 14:16, if we could have that scripture up, said something that we read too quickly. John 14:16. Jesus said, "And I pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And when we read that, often we say, yes, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. A bit like a spare wheel in the boot. In case we need it, we can always refer to it. But really, the scriptures are not too many people will argue about the fact that God the Father is the creator of the world and is obviously God a personality. He's a person and he acts and he speaks right through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Not too many people would argue against that. Not too many people would argue against Jesus Christ, the Son of God, also being God, given all the facts. But when it comes to the person of the Holy Spirit, somehow we kind of not sure where he fits. And in this scripture, Jesus made it very, very clear. He says, "And he shall give you another Comforter." Not 3+1 or 2+1, but another in the sense a replacement. See, Jesus was a comforter to his disciples. Whenever they were in trouble, he would say, "Be of good cheer, have faith." He was always there to encourage them, always there to give them explanations of what they needed. He was really their leader, their friend as well, their comforter, their intercessor as well. Actually, the word here is translated counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. Now, it might sound strange to you, but quite a few times in my life, probably 3 or 4 times, and I haven't seen it, but other people have seen it. Sometimes, one day I was in the congregation and minding my own business, you know, just like any one of you. And the preacher said, "Sir, there, would you please stand up?" So eventually he referred to me, picked me in the crowd, and he said, "I can see a tall being standing behind you, very tall, white being." And I always assumed it was an angel, see. A few times in preaching, I remember one day, I think I've shared here, one day this man was coming for healing, and I was so fed up with the church having no power. You know what I mean? Like praying but seeing nothing happen. And I think when it comes to the restoration of the church, there's going to be a restoration of power to the church. And that comes through the person of the Holy Spirit, through our connection with the Holy Spirit, to our ability to hear the voice of the Spirit. And on that day, I heard a voice very clearly behind me. I said, "Oh, Lord, I want to pray for that person. Always I pray for him. Nothing happens. You know, he gets better for a day or two, then he's back in the same boat, unable to get out of bed, and I don't really want to pray for him." And I heard this voice behind me. "How dare you decide who you pray for. And other people in the congregation later said to me, well, you know, we did see a tall, wide being behind you, and I kind of assumed it was an angel. And then just a few weeks ago, when I read the scripture, I knew the translation was counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener. But when the word standby came into my sight, I became aware of something. Everyone, as believers, has been given the Holy Spirit as a standby. Now, when we're in trouble, we like to say a quick prayer to Jesus, right? And we make sure it's verified and sanctified by and justified by the words in Jesus' name. Kind of guarantees the success of our prayer. But how would you turn around and say, Holy Spirit, you're supposed to be my standby, my helper right here. Please tell me what to do. That sounds strange to us, doesn't it? Because we're so used to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is almost not a person in our thinking. We kind of say he is because that's what we've been taught and that's what we keep on hearing, but in real fact, we never treat the Holy Spirit as a person. Some people have thought it was maybe just an influence, maybe a feeling in the meeting, maybe the music got to such a crescendo or whatever, such an anointing that we felt, oh, the Spirit is here. But really, the Holy Spirit was always here. And Jesus said, it is better for you that I go, so that I can't be with you guys, but now the Holy Spirit, another comforter, a replacement comforter, if you like, a replacement of me, Jesus is saying, really, will be with you. It's better for you because you can be everywhere, all over the world, at different times, different places, and the Holy Spirit will always be with you. When, if it's limited to me physically, well, I can only be in one place at one time in His physical form. When it comes to thinking of the activity of the person of the Holy Spirit, we need to probably split history into two segments. The pre-Pentecost and the post-Pentecost era. We are in the post-Pentecost era. In other words, in the past, the Holy Spirit would as a person, would come and speak to certain holy men, and they recorded their thoughts, and eventually other people thought that that was God speaking, and the Word of God came into being. But He never dwelt with them. The Holy Spirit always came for a short period of time just to instruct someone or to give them a vision or whatever, as in the case of Daniel, etc. But then the Holy Spirit would not dwell with people. But in the post-Pentecost era, the person of the Holy Spirit comes to dwell with us. And that's the major difference. In the past, people had fleeting encounters with the person of the Holy Spirit. I remember Abraham sitting there before Sodom and Gomorrah came to a tragic end, and three men came down the road. And they were really God in a physical form coming to speak to him. And eventually he addresses those people, and eventually the Lord reveals himself, and Abraham calls him God. That was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Not necessarily the three persons, because one of those end up going to Sodom and Gomorrah and appears to be an angel to warn Lot in the town. But when it comes to pre-Pentecost, it was a fleeting moment, a kind of almost by chance encounter with God. But with us as believers, we need to be aware that the Holy Spirit is promised to be our standby, to stand by us wherever we are as believers. In the church and outside the church, just as as we live our daily lives and represent Christ in the world. One of the reasons why we see that we kind of think that the Holy Spirit is so much a person, or we don't actually treat him as such, is because some of the scriptures refer to the Holy Spirit with reference to physical things like the breath, the wind, the fire, the oil, water, illustrations that obviously the Lord has given to the writer so that it can communicate something to us, but it doesn't refer to the essence of the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. God the Father is a person. The Lord Jesus Christ, before he came into a human body, was a person. Three persons. We believe in three persons in one as the Trinity. We would accept readily that the Father so loved the world that he gave his Son. We accept readily that Jesus so loved the world that he accepted the cross. But it never enters our mind in the big dimension that the person of the Holy Spirit loves us to the same degree as the Father and the Son. Actually, when it says that God so loved the world, I'm not sure that it is referring just as the Father. I think it's referring as the Godhead, the Trinity. And so Jesus says, it is better for you that I go, because if I go, then my Father is going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he will be with you all the time. Some people have thought maybe the Holy Spirit is an influence, a grace, a power, or a gift. And, you know, scriptures tend to point to those things. Like in John 3, Jesus speaks and he says, truly I say to you that unless one is born of water and of the Spirit. And so we kind of connect things. At another time in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when it had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. It didn't come a wind, actually. There came a noise like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. So the noise filled the house. The curtains didn't move, but there was a noise like a wind, and flames of fire appeared. And again, we could be forgiven to think that the Holy Spirit appeared as flames of fire and is an item rather than a person. But these are human conjectures. Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit as a person. In John 15:26, we read that when the Helper has come, Jesus is speaking, when the Helper has come, then whom I will send to you from the Father, that he is the Spirit of truth. And he uses there a male pronoun. And he proceeds from the Father, and he will bear witness of me. John 16:7-8 and 13-14 says this, and I'll tell you the truth, that it is to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go. If I do not go away, the Helper, the standby, your standby, if you want to put it that way, shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, and he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth, and he will not speak of his own initiative. And whatever he hears, he will speak. He will disclose to you what is come, and he will glorify me, and he shall take of mine, and he shall disclose it to you. And probably another reason why we're not so conscious of the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it's because he doesn't speak of himself. He doesn't say, "Hello, it's me, the Holy Spirit." No, he takes the things of the Father and he reveals them to us, and we are all the better for it. So we receive revelation from him, but he's never speaking of himself. He always glorifies the Father and the Son. Such is the union or the unity of the Trinity. Is that not only they are three different persons with the same aim, but they also have the same heart for each other. The Son would never do anything that he doesn't hear the Father speak of, and the Holy Spirit would never do anything that he doesn't hear the Son and the Father speak of. And so, God so loved the world really means that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit love the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 11, if you could have that scripture, it tells us that, actually we could turn to it and read it in the Amplified. I've got the Amplified here, it's quite a verse 9, starting from verse 9, but on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared or made and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptingly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. Yet to us, God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsel and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. For that person, what person perceives, knows and understands what passes through a man's thought except a man's own spirit within him? Just as no one discerns or comes to know or comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts that we might realize, the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed to us by God. One day I was called by a person to visit them, and they had this lady with them who had been in and out of a mental hospital for pretty well all her life, probably 5-6 times. She had attempted to jump from the third floor of the Glenside building in Adelaide Mental Institution several times, and I don't know whether she broke any bones or anything, but she had attempted suicide several times, and I was asked to come and speak to her. And they were friends of my parents, and they said, "Look, can you please help?" And so I came. I was only young. I was only, what, 20, 21. And I came and listened to the lady's story, and they were telling me how this lady hardly ever spoke and what have you. And this lady was there, just sitting there, friends of my parents. And I heard the standby say, "This lady's been hurt badly. That's why she does those things." And I'm no psychologist, but I said to this lady, I said, let's look at this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because whatever judgment, whatever assumption, whatever words people have spoken about you, they're not true. How can I say that? Because nobody can see into the spirit of a man except the Holy Spirit. So nobody can see the thoughts of men. You can assume, but you can be very mistaken. And so I said to her, look, all the negative things that have come to your life, all the words that have been spoken in your life, I can tell you, they are not of God. But I said, if you would turn to God, then the person of the Holy Spirit will be able to speak to you some things that are true about your situation, and you would find great freedom out of it. And that didn't seem to make any great difference. We had a cup of tea and said some niceties, and then I went home. About a couple of days later, I get a phone call from the superintendent of the denomination I was with, and he said, Frank, what did you say to this lady? I thought, here I am, I'm in trouble now. What did you say to this lady? I said, well, I don't know, I can't remember what I said. Well, I just quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and spoke about the fact that, you know, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit knows the heart of man, and anybody passing judgment would probably be mistaken because they don't know the heart of a person other than the Spirit of God. And he said to me, well, this lady is in her right mind. This lady has discharged herself out of the mental hospital. She is lucid. She speaks. She is happy. She is rejoicing. And she is back to normal. That was phenomenal, I thought. And it went on for quite a few months. About probably 6 months or so. Until after attending church for about 6 months, she asked her pastor, could she start studying at the Bible College because she wanted to know more about the Lord. And this person unwisely said, I don't think so with your history. I don't think we could accept you in the college. Instantly, this person went back to normal, like an old life, and became mute, and was accepted again into hospital. It just made me aware that we're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about things that could happen to make us rejoice in ourselves, but we're talking about God wanting to change people's lives, wanting to speak words that are words from heaven into the hearts of man, to be able to release them and to be able to cause them to be effective for God. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, is ascribed intelligence. In 1 Corinthians 2:10 we read that God reveals them through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depth of God. So the Holy Spirit as a person has got great intelligence and is able to convey that to us. In Romans 8:27, it says that he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, always intercedes according to the will of God. He knows the will of God. He seeks the will of God. I may be going my way, and the Holy Spirit would be interceding in heaven and searching the things of God and say, Father, what plan have you got for Frank or for James or for Julie? What plan have you got for them today? Who will they encounter? Will there be a word for them to speak? I was at the shop the other day, late one afternoon, and this lady came in a real panic, young woman in real panic, and she wanted to buy a laptop quickly, she wanted to buy a computer quickly, she wanted to buy all the ink relating to that computer that was in the shop quickly. And I discerned, I didn't need the gift of discernment, I discerned there was something really wrong. And I said, Lord, what's going on here? See, we are used to Lord. The Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going to heaven to do a different ministry, but I'm giving you a helper, a standby, to help you. Sometimes I think the lack of power in the church is because we do not refer to the person of the Holy Spirit. We live a life that almost ignores the person of the Holy Spirit. We're comfortable with the person of the Father, we're comfortable with the person of the Son, but when it comes to the person of the Holy Spirit, we're not so comfortable, because there's been some people who've been really weird. I sense. They put on this voice and turn their eyes. I sense the presence of the Holy Spirit right now. And the hairs on your hand stand up. But that's human behavior. The real fact of the matter is the person of the Holy Spirit is the standby, the helper, the person with the believer as promised by Jesus everywhere we go. So I said to this lady, I said to her, "You seem to be very worried." She said, "Yes, my partner is trying to kill me. And I'm passing through town, I'm rushing, and I want a quick printer and computer so I can photocopy some stuff and print it and blah 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 in case something happens to me." And I said to her, "Hold on a minute." I said, "Do you believe in God?" She said, "No, not particularly." So I said, "Well, it doesn't matter, because God is whether you believe Him or not. Do you know He loves you?" And she said, "Well, that's the first positive thought I've ever, comment I've ever had today." And I said, "You know, if you would only turn to Him, you would find that God is so loving. He has such a great plan for your life. And you'll probably look back on this situation and you'll say, this is nothing." See, if God loves you, who can stand against you? She said, "You sound like Joyce Meyer." I said, "Oh, do you listen to Joyce?" She said, "Well, occasionally I listen to Joyce Meyer." But she said, "Would you pray for me?" And so I had a chat with her, and then I prayed. Didn't lead her to the Lord as such. I prayed that God would give her understanding and wisdom, protect her, and show her the way. And she said, "You know, I need to get a Bible." I didn't have one right there, but I said, "Look, I'm sure you can get hold of a Bible somewhere. Book yourself in a motel. I'm sure the Gideons won't mind. You're reading their Bible. You're reading their Bible." I didn't intimate anything else. If you did, repent. So just get see, and you know, this woman, by the end, I was there for 2 hours with her, closed the shop at 6:30, you know, my wife was waiting for me to pick her up, and I had a message on the phone, and she said, "Where are you? Can you pick me up?" And I replied, "Can you walk? I'm at the shop." So she didn't have to walk far, so she came. And the young woman was still there. And she said, "You know, after a little while," she said to me, "I feel so peaceful." She said, "I feel so peaceful." Now, it wasn't my words. It had to be the person of the Holy Spirit starting to speak in her heart. And so the words that were spoken gave her great confidence. And she was going to a place, and it's a long story, but she ended up going to stay with her father for a while. That's the only person in the world she could trust, her elderly dad. And she told me she was going to spend the next 3 weeks just doing nothing else but read her Bible and seek God. So start with the Gospel of John. It's always a good one to start with. Anyhow, so the Holy Spirit has got great intelligence. The Holy Spirit knows the will of God. In 1 Corinthians 12, He also has His own will. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. the Holy Spirit has got his own volition. The person of the Holy Spirit. You know, with the gift of the Spirit, I used to think that, you know, God gives you the gift, boom, of word of knowledge or whatever. And from now on, you're the man. But I really don't believe that's the case. See, the book of Corinthians speaks of the manifestation of the Spirit. God gave gifts to the church. True. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to the church. Please listen to me. To the church. Not necessarily to the individual. If I move in the gift of knowledge today, it doesn't mean that tomorrow, at the click of a finger, I can move in the gift of knowledge because I've got the gift. No. It means that if I've got faith, and if I trust God, and if I'm open to God, yes, the Holy Spirit may want to manifest himself through me with a word of knowledge, but it is entirely dependent on me relying and depending entirely on him. Because without depending on the Spirit, I'll be talking bubble, rubbish. So, when it comes to the gift of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has given gifts to the church and wants to manifest himself through the individual members of the church, and some tend to be used more in that gift because they're more open to be used in that gift. And as was heard this morning, sometimes we're a little fearful of what people will think or what have you, and it's scary. Isn't it? I remember one day speaking to the word of knowledge for someone who for 3 years, or for actually quite a few years, had a job pumping petrol, very low wage in Blackwater actually, very low wages, and he had a young family, tried to change jobs several times in his life, and over 15 years he just always ended up pumping petrol. And as he came down the aisle for the altar call, the bystander said, "This man will earn 3 times his income within 3 months." I don't know what you do, whether you go and refer to someone quickly, but I was a senior pastor, so I didn't have anybody else to quickly refer to, and he did not always attend church, so I thought, I've got to grab him now. And so I grabbed him by the hand and I said, so-and-so, I won't give you his name just in case you bump into him. I said, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying. This is what I heard the Holy Spirit say. Is that within 3 months, your wage will triple. Great words to say. Great words to hear, harder words to say. And so he said to me, "Oh, that couldn't be. Pastor Frank, you're mistaken, because for 15 years, blah, 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 tell me his whole story." I said, "I don't want to hear it." I said, "Listen to what God is saying. Without you doing anything, your income would triple in 3 months." Now, I believe I've heard from God, and I'm prepared to publicly repent if that's a mistake. After the meeting, the elders of the church wanted a particular meeting with me and said, "How can you put our church in such a predicament?" And I said to them, "Well, I haven't put you in a predicament. It's myself that's in the predicament." See, when it comes to moving in the gift of the Spirit, because it's spiritual, you can't allow people's human judgments and understanding to interfere. And so I said to them, "Look, I believe it will come to pass, but I'm prepared to repent if that's the case, if it's not the case." And you would not believe it. Of course you would believe it because you are full of faith. But within the next 3 months, here is this person pumping petrol at the gas station, and the person opens the car and he's furious. He's really aggressive. And he says, he goes, pays for his petrol, and he says, "You know what?" He said, I bring people into the country, I pay for their training, I train them, And as soon as they're trained, they leave. They leave me. And this is the third time it happens. You know what? You are a faithful person who pumps petrol. I've seen you for 15 years. He said, I want you to come and work for me. Trained him to do metal fracture detection, you know, this kind of x-rays and whatever. And 3 months later, this person came to my office with his pay. And it was $909 as opposed to $303. His first weekly pay was exactly triple the next week, the last pay. But that's so when we move in the Spirit, when we allow ourselves to listen to the person of the Holy Spirit, it comes back to relationship. The first time it's more scary because we're not quite used to the voice and we're not sure whether it's us or something else. And so we kind of get worried. But as we progress in our faith and in listening to the voice of the Spirit, we move into greater dimension of and greater confidence in what God is saying, and we're able to speak it with a greater confidence. The Spirit is also a spirit of love. Romans 15:30 says, "Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me." It's a spirit of love. It means that when the Holy Spirit wants to use us, be it to speak to an unbeliever or to believers or in the church, it is never to embarrass us or to teach us, to humble us. It is always because of His love for the church. And He uses us as an intermediate, if you like, as a channel to bless the body. We all are R.A. Torrey, a great theologian of the past century, said this: "We owe our salvation just as truly to the love of the Spirit as we do it to the love of the Father and to the love of the Son." The person of the Holy Spirit is really the loving God that we know as the Father and as the Son. He's full of goodness. Nehemiah says, "Thou didst give thy good spirit to instruct them." The Spirit of God is a good spirit. Spirit of God can be grieved. And I think sometimes the Spirit of God is grieved because we simply ignore Him as a person in the church. We do believe in the Trinity, but in fact we practice a duinity, if there is such a word. And if you look at the early church, wherever they turned, read the book of Acts and every other event, and the Holy Spirit said, and the Holy Spirit guided them, and the Holy Spirit did this. And as we become more familiar with the person of the Holy Spirit and more open to be used by Him and to listen to His words, we're going to come into a new dimension of power and authority when it comes to the things of God. The book of Revelation says, "Let him hear who has hear, let him who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." The Spirit is continually trying to speak to the church. There is a crying out for the revelation of the sons of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. There is a crying out in the earth for the revelation of the church to come into its full glory and power in these last days. And I believe with the apostolic renewal, there is a renewal of the activity or the demonstration or the manifestation of the person of the Holy Spirit. He leads and guides. In Romans 8:14, they were led by the Spirit. He calls us and commissions men. The Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them. In Acts 20:28, we hear that we read, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock of God, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. The Holy Spirit is calling His church to come to a place of authority. And that is only going to happen when we come to a place of personal relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. Now you may think, well, maybe you're splitting hairs. I don't think I am. Because if you look at the book of Acts, it is filled with the activity of the Holy Spirit. And you know, my heart longs to see the church at large, not only our church, but the church at large, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to move in the same power that we saw in the book of Acts. I believe that will happen. I believe it is progressively happening. But I believe that it is going to come when we give the person of the Holy Spirit His way. He's also called the Spirit of Fire. And as we heard this morning, sometimes when we come, we just simply hear a small voice that will tell us about certain things in our life that need to be cleaned up, certain attitudes, certain feelings we have of forgiveness, etc., as we heard, that is all part of the work of the Holy Spirit. If I said this morning, who is confident in God? I think we'd have a few hands going. They'd probably look at Pastor David and say, if he puts his hand up, maybe I could. If he doesn't, oh, I've got nowhere to get. Some of us would feel, well, I'm kind of confident. But most of us would say, is there another calling? Could I maybe put the carpet up? That would be easier, wouldn't it? See, when we're talking about the gift of the Spirit, we're not talking about talents and abilities, natural abilities, to be able to do carpentry work and that sort of thing, although that's a service unto God. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit really wanting to use His people in a spiritual dimension. Will you say a prayer and the results transpose? Will you speak a word and that word comes to pass? Where you declare things and they happen not in faith but in immediate reality. And if you look at the book of Acts, you'll see that the church was powerful because it was moving and guided by the person of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my heart. That should be the cry of every heart here this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my heart. Who doesn't want more of God? Sometimes I think I had an encounter this week that really illustrates this. I picked up the phone to the taxation department and I said, I want such and such information on such and such a thing. And they said, sir, we used to handle this issue, but we've now deferred it to another department, and can I connect you? And of course, you know what happened. I got connected, and we've got experiencing a numerous number of calls right now, and would you please wait or leave your number, and we'll ring you back. And I left my number, and then never got a call back. So I rang again the same department. And they said, sir, you're addressing yourself to the wrong department. Did I speak to you before? Yes. I said, you're addressing yourself to the wrong department. Referred me to that department again. I still haven't been in touch with them because they're too busy. So Eventually I'll get there. But the thought came to me. Sometimes we say, Lord Jesus, please do this. And Jesus said, look, I used to be your standby, but I'm busy doing something else now, and you've got another standby. It's even better for you. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. So now I'm going to walk my life saying, Lord Jesus, I love what you did for me on the cross, that your sins washed away my sins, and that without you there would be no hope. I'm so blessed that you came to the cross, and I thank you for sending me another helper. And so, throughout my life, I'm determined to say, Holy Spirit, please tell me what I should do here. We have not because we ask not, or we have not because we ask amiss. Sometimes I think we're asking amiss. We should be turning to the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, you're the Comforter. You're here to bring to pass the promises of the Father. You're here to reveal to me the deepest desires and will of the Father. Please help me here. And we should be hearing it. I believe that's going to be increasing. I'd really encourage you to follow Pastor David's advice, though, when we start in moving in the Spirit, so often there can be a mixture of voices, because it's exciting on one hand, it's also scary on the other, and someone used to say, we start in the Spirit and then we panic and we finish in the flesh, you know. We start, thus says the Lord, and it's good and whatever, and then we kind of run out of words, and instead of shutting up and letting the Holy Spirit keep on giving us more on the subject, we kind of quickly make it up to save our neck, you know, to just excuse ourselves out of it. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is the greatest friend that we can have. The person of the Holy Spirit. The age of the church, from the day of Pentecost until the Lord Jesus comes, is called the age of the Spirit. Why is that? Because it is the person of the Holy Spirit that is so willingly wanting to engage himself with the church, to bring the church to the place of godliness, to the place of intimacy with God, to the place of revelation and understanding that will cause this world to turn upside down. Isn't that exciting? I believe it is.